Welcome to Disability Empowerment Now. I'm your host, Keith Murphy DeGincini. Today I'm talking to Pascal and Iza. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Keith, for having us.
Thank you.
Who are you?
Yeah, so, great. So I'm Pascal Albright. I am the producer of Disability Empowerment Now. So I edit all the episodes and put together all the content.
I'm Isa. I work on the website design. We're doing a launch that will be coming out September 8th with a new design. And I also do transcripts from English to Spanish.
How did you find out about this podcast?
Well, yeah, I'll go ahead and start. So it's real interesting. So I knew Alex Perry, who was the previous producer on Disability Empowerment Now. She worked with you, Keith, helping put together episodes for season one and two, as well as uploading things to the website and starting up social media channels and sort of helping you get all the technology and all those small things set up to kind of launch where we are now today. And then she at one point was going through school and needed to, I know, to take a little step back. So she was like, hey, I know Pascal, who was previous experience audio editing, producing other digital content. And so she was asked me if I would help and step in, and I listened to a few episodes and I love the work this podcast does. I think it's very empowering. I think it's very important for our community. And so I had the time, had the means, so I helped step in, and now I help produce every weekly video and every weekly episode that gets put out there. And I think it's just great.
Yeah, mine was kind of similar to Pascal. I also found out through someone that works through the podcast, Nicole Feltman. She approached me about a year ago and said there was this opportunity for adding some more accessibility with the Spanish transcripts and adding that feature so that we can have Spanish-speaking people listen and watch these episodes. And so I met with Keith. We had an interview, and then I came onto the team. And then shortly after, it just came up that I had some design background with websites. And so the team was looking to update the current website we have. And then I kind of switched into that role. So I found out through one of the people on the team.
And I think that's the great part about this team is that we all know people who are either wanting to help expand this project or who have some sort of enthusiasm about digital media. And that's really what the close relationships the team has, and that we can find people to fill those gaps if we don't have those skills. I think that's really valuable. And that also helps from an accessibility standpoint, because we all have such different skills that we help put together and make this product as unique, as accessible as possible. And I think that's very fun and important.
In the forthcoming season, I actually talk to a lot of podcasters, fellow podcasters. One of them is from the UK, and most of that episode was us just talking about how time-consuming podcasting is, and how people who aren't in the field don't know that. They think you just sit in front of your computer, turn on your camera, ask some questions, save a file, do a little editing, put it out. And I must confess, before I started this, that's exactly what I thought. Podcasting, never mind video casting, was, and the purpose of really these team interviews is to illuminate what goes on behind the scenes. Because even though we're a very young show, we've gotten to the point where we're a very well-oiled machine. And there are, and I'm not hesitant to admit this at all, there are things that you guys do for me that I know nothing or next to nothing about. So would you please elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I think something that makes our team unique as a podcast is that most podcasts are very individual, where it's especially when you're starting out brand new with not, you're not a celebrity, you're not a, some big name who has all these contacts. They tend to do it where it's they're the host. They're scheduling the interviews, they're editing everything, and they're putting it together. And when you put it that way, it is a lot of work that goes in, from scheduling to actually figuring out the questions, doing the research, doing the interview, and then going back and listening to it, adding all the final touches, and then uploading it. But what makes our team unique is that we have quite a variety of team members that help with each step of the way, from editing the episodes to uploading them to putting them on social media to figuring out where the final touches are to sending out the newsletters. And that I think is a really great way to help keep things productive. A lot of the times, most of us have other jobs that we partake in, and that kind of doesn't allow us to spend 8 hours a day to work fully on this podcast, that from editing to socialing to all those
That's
things.
where I come in because this is my full-time job. And just to hop in about the research, a lot of research goes on every single week. In
Oh, yeah.
fact, I'm usually two or three gets ahead on doing research or multiple gets every week because it's not, I schedule the interviews. People don't drop whatever they're doing and hop on a Zoom call and then we make magic happen. It's not that. What I always tell people is that this hasn't been a hobby or something I do for fun since the end of season one. Season two and onward, then things got real very, very quickly, but sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. And I think that's another thing that makes this podcast great. We can allow you, the host, who's directly interacting with the guests, just have the time to spend on the research, to have the time to focus on the important things and not worry about the small menial things like editing the episodes, making sure all the sounds are right, making sure we have the transcripts, making sure they're uploaded to the website, because all of that can get real repetitive. And I think it's really great to have separate team members to focus in on those. That way, we can make each individual product really good, but also not get overwhelmed by everything. And I think my favorite part from being able to edit every episode is that I am the second wall of defense almost before it goes out, but I also get to listen to these really great interviews for I'm the third person who hears the interview. It's you, then it's the guest who's on the interview, and then it's me before our audience listens to them. And every episode is so empowering. It's really great to see the diversity as far as guests, and these raw conversations are really great. And my job is to fine-tune them, add all the finaling touches, make sure everything looks clean, And it was visually good. And then we can put it out on our YouTube and all of our podcasting distribution sites. And that's really powerful because for my job, I already do audio editing regularly. So for me, it's really easy to go in, listen to the audio, fix what I need to do, and then get it to the next steps. And I really much enjoy that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, hold on, Edge. We'll get to you in a sec. Edge, one of the new Edge team members. The original job I had envisioned to hire Alex for was to teach me Adobe Audition so I could literally do this all myself. And that quickly became unattainable, and that's how the whole team structure got started, not because I didn't want to learn Adobe Audition. By the way, great program. We couldn't do this without it, but I somehow knew that if I tried to take that on as well as the front end, it was only gonna be one season and I was going to burn myself out very, very quickly. And the only burnout I've faced is when one day, I don't know what I was thinking, I decided to do three episodes back to back, in the matter of 4 to 6 hours. That's the only burnout I. But if I'd schedule one for the morning and one for the afternoon, then I'm fine. It's something about the number three that really does me in as a host. It adds one of the newest team members. What would you like coming on to this already established project and adding your expertise?
It was a great, very seamless experience. I think it helps that, I'm friends with a lot of people that are part of this team, and so that integration was very seamless. There's so many things that were in place, and the whole idea of having me come on to help with the Spanish accessibility was to just add another layer of accessibility for the users. What are the different ways that we can make this accessible? And so Nicole Feltman was actually the one that came up with this idea of, why don't we add this feature? We've got so many features on the website, on the podcast. How else can we add to this podcast to make it the most accessible possible for people? So coming on for me was really exciting because it was something new. We had the transcripts originally, but they were just sent out in English as they were recorded. And so being able to provide that for people that speak Spanish, I think is just really valuable. And we're a podcast based out of Tucson, right? So we're geographically an hour away from the border where we've got a huge Hispanic and Spanish-speaking population. And so it just felt very intuitive and natural to add that aspect to the podcast. And I think that's been really special to be the person that kind of bridges that gap and is able to bring those two populations together.
I love that a lot of most of the ideas to add on and to offer something new don't come from me. Because, Pat, still, you're the one who created the newsletter. Nicole and Itza did the Spanish or came up with that. Alex had me reserve our YouTube handle years before we
And I'm
actually
glad we did.
used it. And it's a you with the website, which I haven't seen yet, because I've ordered you not to show me anything before it goes public on that kind of boards. I would have been happy with a new paint job, a new color scheme, a new, let's take the car into be detailed. But no, you were the one, and this was only a few months after you'd started. You were like, okay, let me rebuild, enhance the entire website from scratch. Most of these ideas would never enter my cerebral cortex because I dream big on interviews, but that's it. And so what is it like enhancing the show and what we offer every year? Because we keep adding new layers every single season. What is that like, being a part of a project that keeps evolving and it's not afraid to dream big and outside of the box? Taco Bell is not a sponsor.
Well, I think our team is, it goes back to your genius decision about having multiple people take part in this project. We each come from different backgrounds.
Hold on. That was not my idea. Alex was the one
Well,
who,
we'll credit Alex, yeah.
at the end of season one, as we were prepping for season two, she said, I think we're gonna need some help. Let me bring in two more people. And that's how Pascal and Nicole got their jobs. But yeah, go on.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, we'll credit Alex 'cause to her genius on bringing
We
in multiple.
always should
Yeah.
credit Alex. Without her genius, as you said, very little of what we do now and what we do in the future would have been possible.
I
So
agree. I agree. And so she, when bringing in multiple minds, we each come from a different background. And like for me, for example, I work for a newspaper. So I'm very in tune in what strategies work as far as marketing, as far as getting content out to people, specifically with audio and video. So I use those skills and I apply them to here. For example, with our newsletter, I think it's very valuable to collect data as far as how many people are our suggested audience, and then give them our content directly rather than them having to go to that extra step of going to their podcast app and then going to find that. Because most people generally are checking their emails or want some sort of in with our direct information, anything special that we're offering. So that's another way we can expand our audience. And that's always something that I think this podcast does really well at is staying true to its mission as far as offering empowerment and accessibility for this podcast, for to get everywhere, to reach everyone, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. And I think that's very important. And we do a really good job of offering different transcripts, making sure that we have video, we have audio, making sure that it's in multiple spaces, that we're giving it directly to our audience and just interacting with our community more through the podcast, through social media. And I think every new person that comes onto the team, brings in a new sphere of contacts, brings in a new sphere of skills that will only make the podcast and the project grow, expand. And I think that's the ultimate goal, to get it as far as it can get in many different ways as we can get. And I am going to say this because I don't know everything and I don't claim to know everything. And I think it's great when other people who have different types of experience, who see the world in different ways, can come onto a project and see what it's missing and fill a gap that needs to be filled or that we didn't know needed to be filled. And I think that's really great.
Yeah, I think Keith hit it on the head when he said it's an ever-evolving podcast. You know, it's not rigid. We're always looking for ways to improve. And I think our team, we're all very innovative and we're always looking for opportunities to grow. And beyond that, we're personally interested in this podcast. So we want to see it succeed as well. And when you want to see something succeed, you have that eye or that taste for finding new opportunities, finding ways to enhance it. And so I think that together, we're always looking for ways to elevate this podcast, bring it up, and find new opportunities to make it better and continue to evolve the podcast.
And even to see where, from when I started, we were doing weekly episodes. And I think I started towards the end of season two, helping out with a few episodes and before we jumped into season three. But just the planning and how far our reach is, how many different guests we're trying to get, how diverse our guests are. Every step of this podcast has been intriguing, has been new, has been an opportunity that me personally, I can grow in, that I'm willing to put the work in because I can see it succeed. I can see it reach the community. I can see the impact, and it's only really great stuff. And when we get some of these incredible guests like Danny Woodburn, Temple Grandin, Kurt Yeager, who are almost household names, to come on a show that's in a season three, like a freshman season, not even, we've barely been here for a few years, and we're getting these incredible names and continuing to reach mass audiences and build opportunities with people. That is the success that keeps me going, drives me to want to help with this product as much as I can, as long as I can. And it's very empowering that way.
Yeah, every new season, I don't try to outdo the last season, but I try to dream bigger. Like, we were laughing a few weeks ago, Pascal, because we talk on the phone a lot about how the only extra content this season was supposed to be the bridge to season four. And then we started expanding it outward and inward. We have mini arcs in season four, outside of season four. We'll offering pre-season content, post-season content. We started in the beginning of July. We don't stop until mid-August of next year.
That's incredible.
For a podcast who isn't even on its fifth or sixth season or fifth or sixth year. I mean, we're doing season 10 rollout of content, what people would expect.
Exactly.
And it's all, and we were talking about before the episode, recorded how we just wrapped up our first pre-season mini season on a Broadway musical that just closed, and the in-depth look at the creativity, the social importance, the impact. And we're going to link it in ways to the season proper, but That was only idea
Yeah, and I think
a
that's,
few weeks ago.
and I it's so in exciting and interesting that when we last season we filmed a season finale with someone who was involved in How to Dance with Ohio, and then we saw that opportunity and a story that we could expand in many ways. And we had six episodes for How to Dance in Ohio mini season, which explored stories from a lot of different angles from the show, people who were acting in the show, people who were directing, people who wrote the lyrics, and all those aspects. And my favorite thing from working on that season specifically is that every episode offered a different lens into the exact same show. It was one Broadway play, How to Dance in Ohio, but every single episode went on and showed you a different perspective, a different detail and intriguing story about the founding of the show, how it went, or those things that really just that showed that we can take a smaller subject and expand it through these different lenses, and it works, and it's intriguing, and it's just something small that we can offer besides our regular shows. And I'm so excited to see where we take these ideas going forward, because again, seeing a singular topic that we sort of explored towards the end of last season really expand itself in a small way through all these different perspectives and lenses was something I didn't think we could do, but we did it, and it was really productive, and I'm very excited for people to listen to those and the future of how these mini bridges both interact with the actual season and how they can live on their own for people who are just discovering the podcast.
Do you have anything to add?
I was just going to say, I think Pascal does a really good job of just explaining kind of the structure of our team and how we're able to rely on one another. And I think that's one of the great things is like he has a lot of experience with website design and he hasn't even talked about that yet. But I often lean on him and I say, hey, can you help me with this? And so I think as a team, we're very creative. And I think, yeah, the idea of why don't we do a bridge season? I think bridge is a really good word because you kind of, you end one season, you conclude that, and then you don't want this time and period where we're not doing anything. So let's do a few mini episodes. And I think that really talks to our creativity and our spark to find a new idea, try a new innovation. And I think the biggest thing is we try and we see how it goes. You know, we sometimes we'll try things and we're like, okay, that didn't work as well. We adapt, we change the strategy, we change what we're doing. And I think that's what makes it so special here. And the fact that we also have the creative ability to do that, I think, Keith, hats off to you to kind of be able to step back because I know this is your podcast and it can be scary to hand that off or to delegate that to other people. And so to have that creative freedom to explore all of these things, I think is really valuable and what makes this podcast really special.
Yeah, it was really scary in season two. I personally thought that season would make me or break me, and I kind of wish it did a little bit of both. Hell, it did do a little bit of both. But I keep thinking about you two, the band, and how they created their magnum opus, the Joshua Tree, and then released a live album. And then for the next studio project, Act on Baby, how did they create that? Well, in their words, there was a lot of infighting. But there was how they eventually got to the end result was chopping down the Joshua Tree and redreaming everything up from the ground up. The song One that literally saved the band was in the trash can. And the producer picked it up out of the trash can and handed it back to Bono. And he said, walk on that, and that song literally shaped the band. And so it's, and of course, I've researched the prick out of that time period and that band, because that is one of my favorite albums. So it's the Queen, Queen's Night at the Opera and their follow-up, Day of the Races. And so that is what I personally do when I create and design each new season. Like the original concept for 50 seasons, which none of us will get to, I was walking in a field of pollen with my dog. And pollen is one of my kryptonites. And I mean, you never know when inspiration will strike you. But I remember designing this project back in 19 as a very different medium. I would do the interviews, no one would hear them, and then I would write them up and post them on a professional-esque blog or news site. But then I remembered no disability advocate would allow anyone, even a fellow disability advocate, to tell their story. And so I immediately abandoned that idea and thought of another solution, of another medium to use. And that's where the podcast angle came in. And then the video cast. I mean, the episode with Kurt Yeager really jump started my holy a whole desire to fast track that mode, that offering that medium. And I was really afraid that it would double the cards. And then, but I realized that the episodes got so much more engaging, so much more fun, and I've brought in this season a lot more comedy. Pads Joe, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the dads are telling their stories more elaborately than we could in previous seasons when we just relied on audio only. So before we wrap up and I ask the two last questions that I always ask in every episode, let's preview the upcoming season, because the trailer will already be out, so it's
Yeah.
filled up. Since season two, we've always used a topic or two to overbranch the entire season. And this season four, which to date is the most ambitious season we've
Yes.
done.
And it will be releasing in September 2024, so don't miss it.
The topics are advocacy and employment. Of course, we'll go off into other topics, we have a mini arc outside the season of disability in nonprofits, and we have a mini arc inside that season on disability and faith, which we touched on in season two. And then the post-season content, it's gonna be really special because I'm gonna introduce two new co-hosts for that post-season on disability law, including the very first guest I had on this
That's
podcast
exciting.
way back in season one. If all of that isn't thrilling enough, so the nonprofit mini arc, it's really a two-step, because starting in next spring or next summer, Disability Empowerment Now is going to become a nonprofit to give us more legal structure, to allow other people to contribute and to support our work. And so all good things.
I think it's very exciting that we're continuing to grow in so many different ways. And what my favorite part about this upcoming season is that not only are we expanding with a bunch of these mini arcs, but we're also having returning guests come back, international guests. We're doing collaborations with other podcasts. So there's some very exciting episodes going to be releasing in season 4, and everything connects. If you haven't listened to any, have caught up on the rest of the season, make sure you catch up on season 1, 2, 3, and then our mini seasons. There's just so much content that I think our audience will love. There's so many different stories that maybe one of them or two of them will really resonate with you. And I think that's what we're aiming to do. We're trying to get as many different people to listen to whatever episodes we have, however much content we can provide, and really build those relationships, continue to see guests return, continue to see guests come back with other guests that we haven't had on the show yet. That's also super exciting. We have a few of those coming up. And so just keep the lookout for great episodes. And these mini arcs are really going to be powerful and help us tell these smaller stories in multiple perspectives and really shine the light on all the topics with disability and empowerment and accessibility.
So by the end of the year, if not before, all season three is on our YouTube channel, but by the end of the year, am I remembering that correct? They've
Our
had
plan
still.
is to get season 1 and season 2 on YouTube as well. So that's the other thing. If you haven't checked out our YouTube, go to youtube.com, type in Disability Empowerment Now. Go ahead and subscribe to our channel because it's really great. You don't want to miss a single episode. And we have all of our season 3, like Keith said. We have all of our How to Dance in Ohio mini season. And our plan is to get all season 4 and the rest of the seasons on there for you as well. So there's a lot of opportunities to listen, to watch. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. You can go to disabilityempowermentnow.com/sign up to sign up for our newsletter. You can also follow us on social media to make sure you don't miss anything. And there's a lot of different ways for you to listen, to watch, to stay in tune with our content because it's only expanding. We're only going to be telling more stories, and you definitely don't want to miss any of them.
Yeah, and I was going to just add, we're also on Spotify, so you can
Yes.
listen to us there. So
Yeah, wherever
lots
you
of.
stream podcasts, we go ahead and type in Disability Empowerment Now. You can find our episodes there. You can also find all of our episodes on disabilityempowermentnow.com and different ways to get the podcast. So if you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, those links are on disabilityempowermentnow.com. So you can find that there in case you need that. But a lot, again, our big goal is accessibility, getting you the content that we provide, these great stories. Yeah, so go ahead and find them, subscribe, don't miss a thing.
So I was originally going to ask the two lads questions. They seem, for the first time, out of place, considering that you two just hyped everything up after me. But let me try to tweak one that is a two. Podder, what had this podcast, both listening and working on it, taught you about disability, about people with disability, about accessibility?
So for me
Yeah.
personally, I think that a big takeaway, and you do a really good job right at the end of the podcast of highlighting, is this, is that disability comes in many forms, shapes, everything. And sometimes we are even people who have yet to discover our disability, which is super important. And I think that message throughout just highlights the advocacy, the importance, the awesome stuff that all of our guests are doing. It's everything from flying planes to creating movies. It's really, really cool stuff that everyday people who are living with disabilities, who have yet to discover their disabilities, who have maybe overcome some disabilities, are talking about and empowering us. And we're able to give them that platform to tell those stories, to tell the details that they want to share with us, and really let them guide the conversation. And for me, as a person, as a queer person living in a community who's constantly trying to expand that, I think that helps me see people through a different lens, has me relate to people who I may not directly relate to right away, just by hearing their stories and realizing that there's so much more as far as advocacy that we could do, even if it is just by sharing these stories or by telling people to names of important people. I think that's very valuable to me, and that's what I kind of take away with it.
Yeah, I think similarly for me, it's just really expanded my awareness around this community. I think before starting, I wasn't really a part of this community. And to be able to have this platform and feel like I'm an integrated member of this bigger space is just, it's really empowering. And I think it's so important because so many of these stories I wouldn't have heard beforehand. And I think the amazing ability for us to provide people with that platform to come on and talk about their struggles, about their grievances, about the good, about the bad. I think that's just important to raise awareness. And I think you also need people on the team where you're advocating for this stuff, because if we're not advocating, who's going to be? And so I think it's really expanded my awareness for, you know, what goes on in this community and the things that happen. And also it's just provided me a way to really help to elevate these voices. And I think that is the thing that we do so well, is we're able to give them this platform where they can come on and they can talk about things that are important for them, because I don't think they're given a big enough voice. And I think we're able to not only give them that voice, but amplify that voice. And I think that is so powerful. And that's why I do this. You know, it's so rewarding to be able to do this. It's these stories and they're fun. You know, you watch these podcasts and I'm going through the transcripts and there's some things, you know, that of course are lost in translation because you're not watching the video, but I'll giggle sometimes when I'm going through. And you know, it's just these really amazing stories that I think are deserve to be heard. And it's really great to be able to be the bridge that helps bring those stories to life and bring them to a bigger community.
So you really answered the lads' question as team members, and this is only half of the team. Will do the other half next episode, and then we'll probably do this again next year to bring in the non-profit team and the co-hosts, what have you. It's really fun, and family members ask me, is it hard to interview two or more people? And I'm like, no, it brings more of a cohesive dynamic, like the Hollander sisters last season. I asked in that episode three, maybe four questions. They just took over the episode and talked about Temple Grandin. It's like, George, here's another platform, madam. Take it away.
Yeah, and I
I
think that's
mean,
so great.
it's just, and the UK podcast that's coming up, that was really interesting back and forth because you're relating to disability and how it's viewed over in the UK is remarkably different than over here. Some areas, and then the podcast angle, people think, oh, podcasting is easy. Let me tell you, the books that say start a podcast in five easy steps that you find online don't do us any favors. But before we wrap this episode up, as my guests, are there any final comments that you want to say?
I'm just excited for our new episodes, our new season, all the adventures that we're going to be going on as a podcast, as a video cast. Remember, September 2024 is when our new season releases. Don't miss any old episodes. Our episodes come out on Sundays. So if you are looking for some time, they come out Sundays. We also release our newsletter on Sundays. So remember, disabilityempowermentnow.com/signup to never miss a newsletter. And just comment, share, subscribe. Let us know what you like about the episodes. Let us know what we should change, if we should have any guests that you want to hear from. I think the community and bridging the gap between our audience and our hosts and our team is very important to us. And we want to hear from you, so let us know. And we're excited to provide you with great stories going forward and more.
Yeah, Jordan, sorry, speaking of guests, Jordan Hogg, the director, the UK director with cerebral palsy, actually commented on one of our Instagram posts and said, I want to be on this podcast.
Oh,
So
that's awesome.
reach out on Instagram, on LinkedIn, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It really, really does make a difference. Isa, final thoughts?
Yes, well, I think Pascal said it perfectly. There's so many exciting things coming for this next season. We've got fresh new content coming out every Sunday. We've got social media, we've got these listening platforms, and we're all very responsive. So if you ever want to reach out to us, we are the people behind these accounts. We're happy to talk to you. You know, P Pascal mentioned if you've got a guest idea, please reach out. Please let us know. You know, I've said this and kind of reiterated it many times today, but we're a creative team. We're innovative. We are always looking for new opportunities. So our messages, our inboxes, they're open. We want to hear from you guys. Stay tuned. We will also have a revamped website. So we're going to change some design elements in there. And there's just, yeah, there's a lot of exciting things coming up. So stay tuned for that. And we can't wait to provide all this content for you guys.
Can never thank you two or the rest of the team enough.
And same goes for you, Keith. We wouldn't be here without you, so we thank you just in
Yeah,
return.
you're the visionary here. So we're executing the vision, and you're coming up with all these ideas. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll hopefully see you both in person, not through a screen, very, very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Keith.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
You have been listening to Disability Empowerment Now. I would like to thank my guests, you, our listener, and the Disability Empowerment team that made this episode possible. More information about the podcast can be found at disabilityempowermentnow.com. Or on our social media at Disability Empowerment Now. The podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts or on the official website. Don't forget to rate, comment, and share the podcast. This episode of Disability Empowerment Now is copyrighted 2024.